Morant real. Respect.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at Thursday's six games and then previewing the seven games for Friday, touching on some injury news across the NBA as well. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Let's start where we always do on these shows during the season, of course, with
monstrous line of the night.
And the monstrous line of the night for, what day is it? For Thursday, it does go to old Buddrick Hield of the Sacramento Kings. Buddy had 29 points in 35 minutes. He hit 7 triples, 2 rebounds, 4 assists and 2 steals. High volume, solid efficiency, 10 of 21 from the field. Only two of two from the line, but otherwise, you know, pretty strong with what Hield is doing at the moment. He's a top 50 player this season. I thought that he was a pretty significant steal type of draft pick this year for different reasons than what he ended up being. I thought his steals would be a lot higher in terms of overall, you know, on-court steals, but he has invested or made that return on investment that I thought he could do if you drafted him in those mid to late round areas, averaging 21 points a game. Only 0.7 steals after being at over 1 last year, but the efficiency absolutely through the roof, although that has dropped off over recent times. And interestingly, the efficiency dropping down as his steal rate has gone up over the last month. He's at 1.4 steals, double the steal rate, but at 41% from the field, keeping his ranking in that 30 to 50 zone pretty much all of the season. But strong stuff from Bud. I guess when you look there, if he can put it all together, if he can be a 22-point-per-game scorer, a guy that gets 3 assists, which he's doing it in chunks this season, a guy that gets 1.5 steals, and a guy that shoots 46%, then you'd think that the top 30, the top 25 isn't a crazy expectation, but it's putting all those different things together. At the moment, you see parts where the efficiency's there, you see parts where the steals are there, the scoring can go back and forward. And if that all comes together, and that's the allure of those top 20 type players, is doing it all and doing it all consistently, then Bud can be that guy. But we just need to see him put all of that together, of course. Let's look at the next one.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night goes to the Duke, Wayne Ellington of the Detroit Pistons. 31 minutes for Ellington with 23 points, 6 triples, not much else. 1 rebound, 0 assist. The steal and the block are handy. The 64% from the field is obviously handy. But that is a massive two-game stretch here from Ellington. 48 combined points with 13 threes and 3 steals. Now, if you go back over his previous, you know, 5 games, you probably don't even get the same level of production. But as I mentioned, I think he won the waiver wire line of the night 2 days ago. He's been an elite 3-point streamer, hitting over 3 threes per game since arriving in Detroit. He's not doing really anything else. He gives you a steal a game. He's giving you 11 or 12 points per game. But those threes, the threes that he is hitting, are really helping his overall value. And he can be absolutely a streamer in that category. What he's done the last 2 games are obviously upper echelon. He's hitting his threes, 13 of 23 threes over those 2 games. The 3-point attempt rate, it's always high, but it's even higher here. The minutes are up, the scoring is up, but when that doesn't go in at an otherworldly level, which it won't, then it drops back down to being, instead of a 6.5 threes a game guy, to a 3 threes a game guy, which is still useful on certain teams. Probably makes him more of a 14-team league staple rather than a 12-team must-add. But he had struggled to get to 30 minutes outside of the last 2 games. The previous time he had 30 minutes was on the 3rd of March against the Raptors, and then he was at almost 25 or under nearly every game up until the last 2. One of those without Griffin, and I thought he might find it tough to do again, but I guess revenge game against the Suns saw those 31 minutes come in for the Duke, Wayne Ellington. Make sure you guys are subscribing to this podcast, and a new way of you doing that is by the new Himalaya app. So subscribe via that Himalaya app, download it, and subscribe to this podcast and your other favorite shows right across the Locked On Podcast Network. The deep leaguer of the night is Miles Bridges of the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets switched things up here. James Borrego wouldn't commit to this new rotation situation, but he played 30 minutes. That's two pretty decent games in a row for Bridges. 11 points with 12 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. 63% shooting's not something that we really look at as realistic, but 5% rostered on Yahoo. So 14 teamers, 16 teamers, 18 teamers, anything 14 and above, you've got to go and grab him. The shooting level the last two games, or in this game in particular, was high, but he's had 6 assists, 22 rebounds and 4 steals in his last two games in 30 minutes in both of those games. And with the way that the rotation is running for the Hornets, I think we can expect him to at least push himself into 12-team, perhaps stream territory. Not a must-add guy, but in anything 14 and above, I'd be adding Miles Bridges, who has shown really a big improvement in his rebound rate. The steals are okay. The blocks have really dropped off from him. He's not going to be a fantastic performer. I think in the future, when we look at Bridges, he can be maybe a guy that has a few top 80 type of seasons, but never pushing into that top 50, top 40. But he's going to get a real opportunity here down the stretch, although, again, Borrego didn't commit to that. But Bridges has been starting regardless. It's a difference between him starting and playing 30 minutes or starting and playing 15 minutes or 18 minutes. And I think he's going to push closer up to that 30 minutes rather than the 15 minutes that he was getting beforehand.
Young Gun of the Night.
The young gun of the night is big Marvin Bagley, the third of the Sacramento Kings. 28 minutes for Bags, 22 and 12 with 3 threes and 4 blocks on 50% shooting. I've said this for a while. He's a must-roster player. The 73rd ranked player over the last 2 months. I don't care that he's coming off the bench. I don't care that he's playing 25 minutes a night. He is 100% a must-roster guy. The efficiency is absolutely through the roof for Bagley at the moment. He's blocking more shots than anticipated, a higher block rate than what he was doing in college. The rebounding is really strong, but it's that super efficiency that he is providing that's boosting the scoring. In fact, over his last 9 games, he's averaging 20 and 9 with 1 block per game. Now, I wasn't sure how he was going to work in the NBA. I worried about what his upside would be like. He has been much, much better than I anticipated he would be. I still don't think he's going to be better than Jackson or Ayton or Carter or Doncic or Trae Young as options, but he is putting together a very, very strong run of top 50 type production in fantasy, and he can't be on any waiver wire, 10 teams, 12 teams. He can't be on any of those wires. So if he is available in your league, you got to add him. He is putting up great numbers. And the fact that he's doing this just after returning from a knee injury makes it all the more impressive for big Marvin Bagley. The dud of the night, he's had a few of these this season and a few monstrouses as well. Miles Turner of the Indiana Pacers, just a terrible showing for him and the Pacers against the Warriors. Only 24 minutes for Turner, 4 points and 6 rebounds, no blocks, no steals, no assists, 2 of 10 from the field. Obviously, that's not an ideal situation in terms of that. In terms of those numbers, and he'd been putting together really strong performances. He is the over the course of the season the 36th ranked guy, but at this point in the season, the worst time for it to happen. 116th over the last 2 weeks. This is field goal percentage has dropped right off. 68th over the last month. Really seeing a lot of his numbers fall by the wayside at the most inopportune time that we could possibly get it for fantasy basketball, and that's obviously hurting his value. He's not a drop by any stretch. You really just can't do anything with him at this point. It's just annoying that it is happening at this point in the season where we're at an area that not a lot can be done about it. You can't make any trades. You can't do anything like that. You just got to deal with it and hope that he can turn that around. But unfortunately, it has been a little bit of a prolonged stretch of poor performances from Miles Turner. The plus-minus goats of the day, Marvin Williams, who had a couple of stinkers in a row, played really well, plus 118.6 for the Charlotte Hornets. Well, Chasen Randle, it's pretty amazing to me that Chasen Randle is remaining as an NBA backup point guard at this point. He is not that good, and he's getting minutes, and I think he's been in this worst net rating situation quite a few times this season, and it's I don't get it. I don't get why he's playing as many minutes as he is, but that's where we're at with Chasen Randle, and he is not a fantasy option really in any circumstance. let's have a look at some injury news across the NBA. Jeff Teague, Bob Covington, Derrick Rose are all out for the season for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I did mention this on Twitter today, but as soon as this news came down, people were like, oh man, do I go grab Josh Okogie? Josh Okogie has literally been starting for the last 3 months that Covington hasn't been out. Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose have been in and out of the lineups over those times. And we have seen big games from Okogie the last two games. No doubt about that. The previous two games before that, he barely troubled the scorers in the exact same situation that he is in, and that is without Covington, without Teague, without Rose. Now, Tyus Jones is a guy that you should have been streaming in, and now he is a must-roster guy. But Okogie has had this starting opportunity. Now, granted, he probably does play a few extra minutes here and probably pushes higher into the 20s, but I wouldn't have him as a must-roster guy. He has had this starting opportunity for 3 months and has not been successful the majority of the time. His last two games, excellent. No one is denying that. He's more of a steals streamer who you look to add in 16s and probably 14s if he is available. But he is in no situation a must add 12 teamer. If you've decided between Tyus Jones and Josh Okogie, to me, it is Jones pretty comfortably. Kelly Oubre also out for the season for the Phoenix Suns. And I imagine that TJ Warren won't be back. I think there's a chance that Josh Jackson and Tyler Johnson won't be back. We haven't heard on those guys, but that's going to open things up for McCall Bridges, who's playing a ton of minutes. He is more of a defensive specialist as well. I would much prefer him over Josh Okogie. He has games like today where he had some assists. He can score. That opens it up for him. And Jackson would have been a pretty strong add as well, but he hurt his ankle today. We don't know anything more on it at this point. Another season ender, Tim Hardaway Jr. with a stress reaction in his leg. He is done. Justin Jackson got the bigger minutes in today's game. He's more of a point streamer, 14-team league point stream type of an option. It boosts the value a little bit for guys like Trey Burke as well, who gets some extra playing time there, but they're not having any sort of 12-team impact. Taj Gibson dealing with a calf injury, he missed today. That means deeper leagues, Gorgui Dieng is a guy you look at. I don't imagine that Gibson's going to be rushed back into the lineup really at all. So, that's going to open up some value there. Alonzo Tree are going to miss the next few games for the Knicks with a calf issue, while Mike Conley is going to be resting with general soreness.
I'm not tired.
You would imagine there'd be a few more rest days for Conley. This opens up the value for DeLon Wright as a must-add 12-team league player, in my opinion. It opens up deeper leagues for Tyler Dorsey and Javon Carter, with both Bradley and Conley on the sidelines. Some other news, Justice Winslow's unlikely to play on Friday with his thigh injury. That boosts the value of Jim Johnson for the short term. With Bam Adebayo also dealing with a hip injury, his value does jump up there, as well as Derek Jones for deeper leagues. And then in today's games, I mentioned Josh Jackson hurt his ankle. You would think that the Suns will be extra cautious there. While Harry Giles suffered a thigh injury for the Kings, they said structurally it's fine, just a little bit of soreness and stiffness. He is just a deeper league guy at this point. But again, it could have been his knee. It's a real positive that it's not just his thigh. If he misses time, you're going to get it. Probably more minutes coming for Bagley, more minutes coming for Cauley Stein also, who put up a pretty strong performance today for the Kings. Let's go through these games now, try and break them down from a fantasy point of view, get some value out of them if possible. The first game we take a look at is those Minnesota Timberwolves and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets get the win 113-106. Tyus had 14-2-7 with two steals. He's really providing the bulk of his value in steals and assists, but if the shot goes in, he can help, and we saw that here. With Taj out, Dario Saric had a nice line, 15-7 in 28 minutes. He becomes more of a 14-team league guy, while Townsie had 21-16-6 with two blocks. Big from him. Wigo, 20-5, one of his better games. I think the injuries, again, those guys have already been out, but it does help his overall value. And talking about Okogie, when I was referencing his two prior games I was talking about before today, this is what he's been doing most of the time. 33 minutes, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Now, the 2 blocks are nice, but he missed 2 of his free throws. This is a more realistic representation. The minutes are fine. He will play high 20s low 30s in minutes. We feel pretty good about him doing that, but he's not a must-add 12-team league guy. Deeper leagues, you want to take a look at Jared Bayless, who's going to be in the rotation as a backup point guard. For the Hornets, they made a change to their starting lineup. Nick Batum went to the bench and Dwayne the Baconator Bacon started. Now, Bacon only played 19 minutes. Batum played 23 off the bench. Borrego said he's not committed to this starting lineup, and that's fine. I think Batum's a pretty clear drop. Bacon is not really an ad. This is actually fewer minutes for Bacon than what he'd been playing beforehand. And I mentioned Bridges already. The interesting thing here is Malik Monk got in 19 minutes for Monk, 14 points with four triples back in the rotation. That gives him some deeper league appeal at least. While Kemba had 31, 5 and 6. And Marvin Williams had been really, really shitful. Really strong here. Three threes, two steals, three blocks. Hard to trust him, but can be a 12-team stream guy. While Frank the Tank, who'd been getting consistently 20 minutes a night, played 8, and Bill Hernan Gomez played 23. So, yeah, that value from Kaminsky is just a deeper league scenario. Same with Hernan Gomez, and really no trust in that. I don't, Tony Parker out of the rotation, even though he was healthy, and I don't think that he is going to play very much down the stretch, nor do I think that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist will play much down the stretch, nor do I think that Cody Zeller will play much down the stretch for this Hornets team. The next game up, the Denver Nuggets beat the Washington Wizards 113-108. The Nuggets, we had Millsap and Jokic both having 15 and 6. The difference there is Millsap had 3 steals and a block, and Jokic had 11 assists. A lot of the same sort ofness from this Nuggets team. Only 26 minutes from the Blue Arrow, which is disappointing, but he also scored 15 points. Gary Harris scored 15 points. Torrey Craig scored 15 points. 5 players scored 15 points. In fact, of the 9 players that got into the game for the Nuggets, only one of them, Mason Plumlee, didn't score in double digits, and the others all scored between 10 and 15 points. And you won't see a box score like that very often. A little bit disappointing from Monty Morris, 11 points with 4 assists, but those 4 assists, the 1 steal, that's why you've got him rostered. While Torrey Craig put in his second consecutive big game, 15 points, 3 threes, a steal, a block, 4 assists. I don't trust it, but he's in the rotation solidly as a 20-team, 18-team league player. Farton Will Barton struggled, only 20 minutes, 13 points. The stat line's okay. On the court, he struggled, though, and that's why he saw so few minutes. He is hard to rely upon as a must-roster guy, but with the Nuggets playing on Friday, he remains a rosterable player. For the Wizards, they made a change to their starting lineup, and Scott Brooks did say he'll be committing to this for the rest of the season, and that is Punchbob Shiploke and Thomas Bryant as the starting front court. Portis as the power forward, Bryant as the center. That pushes Jeff Green to the bench.
My name is Jeff.
And that means that Bryant, who played 35 minutes here, is a must-add player in every league. 22-8 with 2 blocks. Now, Brooks has had an opportunity to play Bryant 30 minutes for pretty much the entirety of the season and has refused to, but now he wants to see what he can do alongside Portis. It's going to be a shit show in terms of defensive stuff, but we don't care because they're just looking to experiment. So add Bryant in all leagues. Beal had 25 with 8 assists, and Satoransky had 16, 4, and 10. I talked about how the Jabari Parker high usage, high efficiency train was going to crash and it was going to come off the tracks. Well, it did. 6 points on 11 shots with 8 rebounds and only 22 minutes. It remains to be seen whether the 22 minutes are because of the change in front court rotation with Bryant and Portis, or it's because of the poor shooting. I'd probably hold him one more game and then I'd consider him a drop. While Troy Brown started in place of Trevor Ariza, had 13, 5, and 3. Totally solid. Totally acceptable. Not a 12-team must-add. Ariza could be back. I don't think they should be bringing Ariza back. They should be looking at to see what Brown can offer. But in 16-team-plus leagues, I think you look at Brown as a guy that you go and add. Next up, we've got the Utah Jazz falling to the Hawks on the road. Ravishing Rick Rubio playing quite well, 17, 5, and 7 with 2 steals. Again, back to sort of Minnesota Rubio numbers, assists and steals up the wazoo. It wasn't a great Gobert night, 12 and 11, but Favors picked up the slack, 15 and 15, and he remains a strong 12-team guy for certain teams. Donovan Mitchell, the free throw attempts, this is the real concerning thing, is that when he doesn't play point guard, he doesn't get to the line. 3 attempts here, but 34 points, 2 blocks, 2 threes. He is going to be, I would think, a top 20 guy next year. Well, Jingle and Joe had 13, 2, and 7. Kyle Korver, who'd been putting up some pretty strong 3-point stream numbers, disappointing a bit here. The Undertaker, 18 and 9 for Dwayne Dedman with 3 blocks, with 3 threes. He is a 12-team league guy, while the artist formerly known as Torian Prince had 13 points but added 3 steals and 3 threes. At this point, his unreliability makes him more of a stream guy, but these sort of lines are where you go, shit, that is a 12-team league player. Trae Young had 23 and 11 but shot poorly, while Vince Carter remains a very interesting deep league points and threes streamer, 10 points in his 22 minutes. The Baptist John Collins fouled out in 27. It was a disappointing night, while Fanta Pants Kevin Huerter, only 14 in his 30 minutes, more of a 16-team league guy. Next game up, the Pistons blew out the Suns. Ellington, we spoke about already. Drummond had 16 and 19 with 3 steals. Griffin returned from his load management.
I'm not tired!
He was 17, 7, and 8, while the Duck Luke Kennard played well, had 16 points, but not enough there to really justify him as anything more than a 14-team league guy. Makair moved to the bench. He played 28 minutes, Othon, 10 and 6 with 3 blocks. He's an interesting blocks streamer. And the fact that he played so many minutes here is quite curious to see him getting all those backup power forward and backup center minutes, pretty much with Zaza playing only 4 minutes. The Suns went with a Devin Booker at point guard lineup, which I'm always happy to see. 26, 5 and 2 with 3 steals for Booker, including 8 of 10 from the line. That pushed De'Anthony Melton to the bench, but he was okay there. 7-3-2, and with all these injuries piling up, Melton is going to provide some deep league value. Bridges, 39 minutes for McCall. It was a good night for the Bridgeses. 13-3-7 with a steal. He does have 12-team appeal, I believe. Well, Dragan Bender played 32 minutes, didn't do anything. He's just a deep league guy. Ayton had 20-8 in his 25 minutes. Foul trouble limited him, and that enabled Rashawn Holmes to put up 2 steals and 2 blocks, and he's more than just that streamer guy. I obviously don't believe in him as a 12-team league must-roster player. Next up, the Mavericks and the Kings. A change of the Mavericks starting lineup. Justin Jackson replaced Tim Hardaway. He had 19 points with 5 rebounds. High efficiency, high volume, empty stat line. That's the Jackson specialty. He might do it for 2 or 3 games in a row and then go out and shoot 1 of 7 and have 4 points with 1 rebound. He is a points streamer in 14 and 16 team league situations. Dirk moved to the bench. Maxi Kleber, probably because it was a back-to-back, but Kleber's ability to rebound, hit threes, and get blocks can help certain teams. Powell was strong, 14, 4, and 5 with 2 blocks there, while the burner, Jalen Brunson, very far from his best night, 10 points in 28 minutes, but it was a game where we saw even Luka Doncic play just 26 minutes. I am still rostering Brunson everywhere that I can. I don't think we're expecting 20 minutes out of Devin Harris most nights. This was a weird one. Yeah, Ryan Brokhoff played 17 minutes. So that should tell you how odd it was. Dorian Finney-Smith out of favor. 10 minutes only. He had 2 points. He wasn't impacting fantasy leagues, but it's interesting to see at least. For the Kings, De'Aaron Fox was great. 13 with 9 assists and 4 blocks. Getting 4 blocks from your point guard is a monster performance. 32 minutes for Billy Cauley-Stein, 10 and 18 with 2 steals. The Harry Giles injury helps him, so he could be, or if Giles misses time, he could help there. While Bielitsa played 27 minutes, and the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. Just as stock standard a Barnesy line as you can get, 16 and 6 with 1 assist and a 0-0 in 34 minutes. He helps you for points. He is Sacramento's version of Andrew Wiggins, and that puts him as a real fringe sort of a guy, but can be helpful still, while Bogdan Bogdanovic is a clear drop in 12s, and probably at this point, honestly, 14 team leagues with how little they are actually playing him. For the next one, the Warriors, they smacked the Pacers. Very little to take out of this one. Tyreke Evans had his second strong game in a row, 20 and 5 in 29 minutes. But when Daz Collison returns, Tyreke Evans' value is probably going to disappear. But at least he's starting to show that he can perform. But what it's telling me is that he needs the ball in his hands. And when Collison's there, the ball isn't in his hands. The minutes are down and it loses a lot of his confidence. So I'm not really buying too much into this as a long-term thing. Bogdanovic struggled, 9 points in 26 minutes. Wes Matthews was atrocious. The only Pacers player who really held his head high outside of Tyreke was Thad Young, who had 18 and 7 with 2 steals. For the Warriors, Kevin Durant played through the death of his close friend or adoptive brother, 15, 3, and 6 with a steal and 3 blocks. None of the Warriors starters got to 30 minutes. It was that much of a smacking. But condolences go to Durant and his family in this situation. Not a huge amount to talk about with the Warriors. All the starters were reduced minutes. We saw Andy Bogut play over Jordan Bell, even though Bell did get 7 minutes of junk time at the end. Cousins looked pretty strong, 19 and 11, but just very little to talk about. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Warriors at the end of this week. None of their stars have rested yet. They've got a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So Durant, Curry, Clay, Green. Cousins was out those first 2 games. Will they actually end up playing all 5 games? I'd be pretty stunned, but we're on track for it. 3 games in, 3 games down for the All-Star 4, now not including Cousins on this Golden State Warriors team. All right. Let's flick this over now into DFS mode to wrap it up for the week. Let's start by looking at the perfect lineup on DraftKings. Ravishing Rick Rubio, Don Mitchell, Miles Bridges, Derek Favors, Marvin Bagley, Buddy Hield, Dwayne Dedman, and Karl Anthony Towns for a total of 353.25, and that costs $49,900. And on FanDuel, Kemba, De'Aaron Fox, Don Mitchell, Bud Hield, Miles Bridges, Vince Carter, Derek Favors, Marvin Bagley, and Willie Cauley-Stein for a total of 345.7, and that cost $60,000 dollary-dos. All right, guys, let's look at some DFS for Friday. Seven games on across the NBA. We're going to be focusing mainly on DraftKings pricing. The first game we look at is the Memphis Grizzlies traveling to take on the Orlando Magic. The Magic at this point is 6.5-point favorites, but I can see that number blowing out quite a bit because of the Mike Conley news. The total, 208.5. The Grizzlies have been pretty good lately, but without Avery Bradley and Mike Conley resting.
I'm not tired.
It's going to be a lot harder for them to compete against a team who is in the Orlando Magic still pushing towards a playoff spot and looking to get that playoff position. So, of course, as I said, Bradley out and Conley out for the Grizzlies. So, at point guard, we're likely going to have DeLon Wright starting. He's at 4,900. Wasn't great last game, but played 42 minutes in a start for Avery Bradley. At 4,900, I do really like him here with the ball in his hands a little bit more. And then starting at shooting guard, that remains to be seen. Do they go with Justin Holiday there and push Bruno Caboclo at the three, moving Chandler Parsons to the four? Does Julian Washburn, a G League guy, come in? Or does Javon Carter come in? Or does Tyler Dorsey come in, the man who was the first man off the bench in the last game for the Grizzlies? I personally think they'll go with Dorsey alongside DeLon Wright, but there are a few other opportunities, a few other situations they can look to use. As for Dorsey, he is a minimum salary player on DraftKings at just $3,000. That's obviously a very, very cheap of a salary. So I think that he has that utilization or that ability to be utilized, which I'm sure is the same thing. Putting him in there at 3,000, he played 23 minutes last game for 15 points, which is almost on value anyway, and I expect those minutes to go up in this game. DJ Augustin's at 5,500. DJ is giving this value most nights. I actually really like him here. I think there's strong, strong value in it. Carter Williams, probably not, especially when he's at 3,100 and you can take Tyler Dorsey, for example, at 3,000. I'd much rather go that direction. Justin Holiday is at 3,800. Look, he's been putrid. It hasn't been for lack of minutes because he's been getting the minutes. He had 39 minutes last game and put up 16 points. He would be a weird tournament-y sort of a guy. That's about it. Fournier and Ross at 54 and 5,200. Fournier was strong last game. He had 35 DraftKings points. Ross had 25. So I think they've both got an ability to hit value here. I feel a bit more confident in Ross, but maybe Fournier has a higher upside. But even then, I'm not so certain that he does. They're not super interesting guys. Chandler Parsons is, weirdly enough, averaging 24 over the last three in 21 minutes a game. Extra opportunities with Conley out. And his price is what really gets me looking at it. 3,400 for Parsons. If he gives me 25 points, that's a real win for getting a guy in like that. And if he pushes to 25 or 26 minutes and has a hot shooting night and gets 30 points, then it actually works out in your favor. And that's an amazing thing to be saying. Johnny Isaacs at 5,300, probably not. While Bruno Caboclo played 41 minutes last game, had 28 DraftKings points at 3,600. Another of the cheap Grizzlies options you can look at. So you've got Dorsey, you've got DeLon, you've got Parsons, you've got Javon, you've got Bruno. Like lots of options here. Even if you want to go real weird, Julian Washburn, but you probably don't want to go that weird. Power forwards and big men. Jonas Valanciunas had 50-plus last game in 36 minutes. He's at 6,600. I like him to get 30-plus again here in this one. So I do think that Jonas is worth a look. Vucevic at 9,600. Absolutely rock solid. Great floor. Decent upside. Like him for cash and tournaments. While Noah saw his minutes dropped last game, while Ivan Rabb was completely out of the rotation. I don't really feel like either of those guys are spectacularly good plays. On FanDuel, Dorsey, again, and Wright, those same sort of names. Justin Holiday is a GPP guy. Jonas Valanciunas, probably a little bit too high. Vucevic at 10-2, I really like. DJ at 56, I really like as well. Aaron Gordon, I think he comes in okay at 78. I'm not as interested in him on DraftKings. He's still got value there, but there are a lot of other more valuable options, I believe, over on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, he's not a terrible option. Let's go to the next game. We're looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are 2.5-point favorites. The total, 226.5. These two teams just played each other. Kyle Lowry is out again, so we're going to get a big, heavy dose of Fred VanVleet once more. At point guard, he leads the charge here. 5,300 for Freddles. You should be looking at 30-plus, probably 35 for VanVleet, making him an absolute rock-solid tournament and cash guy. While Westbrook at 10-8 can't like that enough. You know, you've got real 75-80-point upside, 55.4 floor probably. Love him. While Schroeder's been getting a lot of minutes, he hasn't been blowing us away. But when you're giving 27, 28 a night, it's not bad at 5,300. It's not the most rock solid, and he has a lot of variability in his performances, but at least there's something there. At shooting guard, Dan Green went off last game. He had 38 points. In that performance. He is not reliable at all, so I'm not really all that keen on him. Storm and Norman Power, Terry Ferguson, they're all no's. The fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
He had 49 in the overtime game against the Thunder last time. At 8,900, I'll take that, and I'll take it again here. Well, 9,700 for the Beatle, Paul George. I prefer Kawhi over Georgie here, but I do think that there is still value in Paul, even though his last recent performances have been a bit down. But he did foul out in that game against the Thunder, so that's against the Raptors, so that's part of the issue there. For the big man, Steve Adams is all the way down at 5,500, understandably, because his production hasn't been great. He's a solid enough floor guy, because his minutes aren't really threatened, but his production's pretty low. Jeremy Grant at 53 has been giving us 30 points a night, which I think is really strong. And again, his role is in no risk of being taken away. Well, 7,200 for Pascal Siakam. Love it. Massive last game. Lowry's out. He gets more ball handling, which is weird for a power forward, but he will be doing that. And that boosts his numbers a bit, while the center spot between Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol.
Oh, hi, Mark.
We saw them pretty much evenly split those minutes before overtime last time against the Thunder. I expect a little bit more of the same. 25, 23, 26, 22, that sort of a minute split, with Gasol getting more of that playing time than Ibaka. But I don't think either of them are anything more than GPP guys in case one of them gets big minutes. But I don't really see that being the case here. Over on FanDuel, Fredels Van Vliet, Jeremy Grant, I like Kawhi. Westbrook comes in pretty strong. Siakam at 84 is maybe pushing a little bit too expensive for Pascal, but because Lowry's out, I think there is some ability to at least consider him as a decently strong option over there. Next up, the LA Clippers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. No spread or total out at this point. This could be some big center numbers. Kevin Love is not listed on the injury report. For the Cavs, of course, Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson returned last game, but we know going up against the Cavs has been really good for opposition centers. Going up against the Clippers has been really good for opposition centers as well. At point guard, Patty Beverley's at 5,300. He's been a 30-point dynamo almost every night. I don't really see anything changing here, so he makes a really strong cash play at the very least. Then you got Lou Williams at 6,700, who disappointed last game, still had 30 points. And at 6,700, when you have an off night and you still get 30, you feel okay about it. The Padawan Colin Sexton is all the way up at 6,200. He keeps producing, he keeps shooting an unsustainable percentage. And much like what happened with Jabari Parker today, it's going to come down. It's going to come down hard. I don't really like him as a cash option here. Jordy Clarkson at 5,000 was strong last game, not super into him, but I'm more into Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who seems to have more of the trust of Doc Rivers of late. He's getting 32 a night over the last five in 29 minutes and 5,300. If you give me 30 points, I'll take that every day of the week. Landry Shamet at 3,800. I don't really see much use in him. And then we look at small forwards. Chetty Osmond's at 57, really just a tournament guy. The Rooster, the opposite, a rock-solid cash player. Danilo Gallinari, $7,000. You got to really like him at that sort of a salary. Well, Jermichael Green at 34, probably not. For the big man, Larry Nance, 53. 23 minutes in his return from that rib injury, 31 points. Hard to fully understand how they're going to use him. It's really hard to know what Drew will do there, so I look at him more as a tournament guy. Kevin Love at 7,700. If he plays, he would be an interesting GPP guy. While Ante Zizic at 41, he exceeded value last game, but I think it helped that Love was out. I don't really like looking at him or Thompson too much. I do like looking at Montrezl Harrell, 6,800, who's giving us 40 a night, and the matchup does really suit him here. So I think that the table, Montrezl Harrell, is absolutely an in-play option over on DraftKings. On FanDuel, Nance at 58, that GPP guy. Sexton, 6,300. I think with the FanDuel pricing, it helps him a little bit there, and the value seems to be more there, but there is a risk. Gilgeous-Alexander, I like quite a bit. Beverley at 6,000 feels pretty good for cash. Love, probably a little bit too high. And then you got the Rooster at 76, which I do like a lot. I'm a little bit sourer on Montrezl Harrell on FanDuel, though. Let's go on to the next game. It is the Denver Nuggets on a back-to-back against the New York Knicks. The Nuggets are 11-point favorites after just getting the slight victory over the Wizards on Thursday. The total, 216. The Knicks have been pounded in the last couple of games. This could really get ugly, despite it being a back-to-back for the Nuggets. We've got Noah Vonleh, who is questionable for New York. Dennis Smith Jr. has already been ruled out. Frank Ntilikina is questionable as well for New York. And I'll tell you what else is questionable: how the minutes are going to be distributed. At point guard, though, with Dennis Smith out, Manuel Mudiay at 5,100. That is a rock-solid cash play with upside as well. While the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, has been underperforming, but given how good the matchup is, you've got to at least consider him a tournament guy. Kadeem Allen is likely to return, while Alonzo Trier will also be out for the Knicks. So Allen at 3,300 with no other point guards on the roster, assuming Ntilikina doesn't play. The 3,300 for Kadeem would be maybe okay for tournaments. He has had a 40-point game this season in only 23 minutes. Monty Morris at 4,300, losing a couple of minutes off the top there with Torrey Craig playing well over the last couple. A little bit hard to rely upon him at that elevated salary. Ntilikina, no way. Shooting guards, Craig at 3,400 has put up two really strong games. I don't trust it at all, that offensive sort of production from Torrey Craig, so I'd probably leave him. Well, Damo Dotson at 55, save for one weird Fizdale, I guess, reduction in his minutes in the middle, which you can never discount at any point. He's been really consistent of late, so I think he's in play. Gaz Harris at 45.
Nice, Gary!
He's been better of late, but I wouldn't say that he's been great. More of a tournament sort of guy. While Farton Will Barton at 57 is 100% extremely a GPP guy. For the small forwards, Mario Hezonja is at 3,900. Itzami is averaging 28 over the last three because he's been starting in place of Vonleh. Now, when Vonleh returns, if it's this game, I have no idea what they're going to do with Hezonja's minutes. If Vonleh is out, Hezonja is a good play. If Vonleh is in, he's a very, very risky option. The Fort Kevin Knox played 47 minutes last game. Of course he did. He had 44 points, and at 4,800, if you're getting 47 minutes, I'll take it. You just probably won't most nights, and that gives an element of risk in Noxie. At 4,800, I think he's a tournament guy, but really not much more than that. And then at center, which Mitchell Robinson are we going to get? Are we going to get the one that's allowed to play? Are we going to get the one that's not allowed to play? Or are we going to get the one that fouls out in 15 minutes? At 4,300, he's an elite GPP guy, but hard to trust in cash. While Nikola Jokic at 9,800 is just rolling out and dropping 40s every night pretty consistently with 60 or 70 point upside. I like him. Of course, you don't want to use DeAndre Jordan if you're going to be using Mitchell Robinson. Those two are mutually exclusive. I think common sense would dictate that they'd want to give those minutes to Robinson, but this is Fizdale we're talking about. Plumlee, Millsap, Allinson, I don't really see much with those guys. Maybe Millsap at 7,000 in a really, really good matchup has some appeal, but not my strongest of a guys that I'm looking at. On FanDuel, same sort of story with Mitchie Robinson, although the salary is quite high. Love Mudiay at 52. Millsap strong on FanDuel. Dotson as well. Jokic is more of a GPP at 10-4, but still some value. Monty Morris, more of a GPP as well. And Kadeem Allen at a minimum salary. He could be a little bit of a weird game changer. Again, we know that the Fizdale loves to Fizdale. Let's look at the next game up. We're talking about the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are 6-point favorites. The total is 221 points here. We know the San Antonio is pretty much locked into the playoffs again, which surprises a lot of people, including myself. I wasn't sure they were going to make it, even at portions during this season. But they are, apart from that loss to Miami, they'd won about 9 in a row. So looking to bounce back here with a win against the Rockets. The Rockets should be getting Eric Gordon back. We saw Iman Shumpert and Danny House split the starting job for Gordon last game. Chris Paul's at 6,900.
Giggity!
Point guards have had a pretty good run of things against the Spurs. That 6,900 for Chris Paul is super, super cheap, so I'm in on him here. Bryn Forbes on the opposite of in on, while Jimmy Harden at 11,400. I thought he was winding things down, and then he dropped 89 against the Grizzlies. So yeah, that was pretty good, and that is a solid, solid price for Jim. Derek White really dropping off at the moment. I think we can only look at him as a tournament guy at 5,300. No real cash reliability. Ballinelli at shooting guard, no thank you. But DeRozan at 8,000, yes. 40-plus a night at the moment. Really consistent stuff. Love what he's going to have to do here. I think he's a lock for cash. Eric Gordon is not. Small forwards, Rudy Gay. I think they'll go to a lot more Gay than Poeltl in this game. And at 5,400, that makes him absolutely appealing to me. He had 39 last game in 32 minutes. That might be on the high side, but 30 points for Gay shouldn't be an unrealistic expectation. Danny House is at 4,000. Shit the bed a little bit last game. Tournaments only. PJ Tucker, Davis Bertans, no. For the big men, Capella, love him at 7,400. Aldridge at 7,900, also like. I would take Capella over Aldridge here, but I think both of these guys are in play. While Pirtle at 4,400, this matchup, I don't think is all that conducive to him having a good DFS performance. Let's have a look at the FanDuel side of things. No one massively stands out over here. Harden at 12.4 is probably on the high side. I think Derek White's a better FanDuel than DraftKings play. DeRozan's all the way up to 9,000, but that's not completely eliminating him from being an option. I do like Aldridge at 85, and I think Capella at 82 is maybe a little bit too high. Gay at 6,000 also comes in, I think, in a pretty good spot on FanDuel. Let's go over to the next one. We're looking at the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. No spread or total at this point. Yanni Antetokounmpo has missed the last two games, but he's listed as probable. While for the Heat, Justice Winslow and Scooter Magruder are both doubtful, while Bam Adebayo popped up on the injury report.
Bam! 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 Bam!
Now, if Bam happens to miss, that's going to give a boost to Whiteside, a boost to Olynyk, and a boost to Jim Johnson, who's been playing really well of late. At point guard, Bledsoe's at 7,100, just casually trotting out 40s a night. And at 7,100, I like him despite the negative matchup against Miami. Dwayne Wade at 5,200. Last game was a bit disappointing from Wade-O, but prior to that, he'd been pretty good. And with Winslow out, I think we can look at him. Same with Dragic, although I hate the fact that he is up at 5,800 now, Goran. And I just feel that the shooting for him might drop off. At shooting guard, Paddy Connaughton's at 4,300. I think that's actually really good for cash. Limited upside, but he's been a low 20s guy most nights. While Chrissy Middleton at 75, also a massively strong cash option. Deion Waiters, I'm not super into that. While Joshy Richardson, if the shot falls, he's going to smash value, but it just isn't falling. So as a GPP guy, he's got clear 50-point upside, but the floor is not high enough to really utilize him too much in cash. Jim Johnson at 3,600, really like that with Winslow out and potentially Bam out as well. Love that for James Johnson. Derek Jones at 3,300, also a very strong tournament guy. And Yanni at 11.3, well, he could easily have 100 points here. So I like that for Antetokounmpo. For your big men, Bam Bam's at 56, which I like if he plays. Otherwise, of course, I don't like it because it is a positive matchup. Ersan's at 37. He's a tournament guy. Whiteside at 5,000 gets a huge, huge boost if Adebayo's out and almost becomes a cash lock in that scenario. While Brook Lopez is crushing people, averaging 42 over his last three, 5,900. Now, it is a negative matchup for centers for Brookie, but he's still putting up good numbers. This might be the spot that I fade him, though, given that his salary's gone up as much as it has, $500. As for Olynyk at 5,400, if Adebayo's out, I think that puts him back into cash discussions. On FanDuel, DJ Wilson, I think, is worth a look. Derek Jones, Deion Waiters even on FanDuel comes in pretty good. Ilyasova's a GPP guy. Whiteside at 55 would love if Bam is out. James Johnson at 48, that's pretty aggressively high. I would be interested in it as a tournament play if Adebayo is sidelined. Same with Kelly Olynyk at 5,300, while Lopez is too high and Bledsoe at 78. I think Bledsoe at 78 is actually usable. The last game of the night, looking at the Brooklyn Nets at the LA Lakers. No spread or total at this point. The Lakers seemingly have given up on this season. D'Angelo Russell gets a chance to go into his former team to put them out of their playoff misery and help cement the Nets into a playoff spot. The Allen Crabbe is out for the Brooklyn Nets. You got Josh the Hitman Hart and Lance Stevenson both as questionable, while LeBron James, he missed last game.
LeBron James.
But he's been upgraded to probable for this one. At point guard, Caris LeVert's at 51, really just a tournament guy with how he's playing. Well, D'Angelo at 8,300, that is a sizable price rise, $900 up, but he's still averaging 47 over the last five, 57 over the last three. I think he's in play in a very, very good matchup for him. I think we have to look at him as a pretty rock solid option here. Dinwiddie's at 59, he's been struggling. Rajon Rondo at 64. Do we get big minutes of Rondo? I think with LeBron back, it does have an impact on Rondo's numbers, so he's more of a tournament guy, and even then, not a strong one. While big sexy Alex Caruso at 4,100. Bit off last game, Caruso. I think that he is at least worth an interesting tournament differentiator type of look. At shooting guard, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope really went off without LeBron last game. At 4,400, he is a great tournament play. Smoking Joe Harris, Reggie Bullock, Josh Hart, I don't really see much in any of those guys for this sort of a matchup. The small forward, you've got the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, who has been struggling, but still giving us 30 a night, which is not a bad floor. And if things start to go well, then there's 45, 50-point upside. So I like him. You're not a bad cash play. Well, LeBron at 10-3, just how much is LeBron going to actually play? He's been giving us 50 a night, but I just feel there's a lot of risk involved with him. Rowdy, Rodions, Kuroks, Damari Carroll, Trevion Graham, no. At center, McGee's at 5,200. Do we get 10-minute McGee, 20-minute McGee, 30-minute McGee? We don't know. That's what makes him a tournament guy. Jarrett Allen, yeah, probably not, although this matchup favors centers really, really, you know, in a big way. So Allen could be a strong tournament guy. And then you don't have much else. Flamin' Mo Wagner, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, who went bananas last game, but that's literally one game out of like 70 this season. So I think it's hard to put a huge amount of trust in him reproducing that. The FanDuel side of things, JaVale again as that GPP guy. Kuzma at 63, I think, comes in pretty strong there. Russell's all the way up at 8,900. That's probably a little bit too high for D'Angelo, but it's not without reason. And Rondo as your GPP $6,600 guy on FanDuel is in play. Let's look at some studs and values. On DraftKings, a stud is Kawhi Leonard and the value is Fred VanVleet. On FanDuel, the stud is Vucevic, and the value is Fred VanVleet. On Yahoo, the stud is D'Angelo Russell, and the value is Paddy Connaughton. And on DraftStars, the stud is Vucevic, and the value play is Tyler Dorsey. Don't forget, guys, that to subscribe to this podcast. And remember, you can subscribe to this podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball or your favorite show across the network. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball and the network at Locked On NBA Net. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. CJ McCollum.